Hey everybody, welcome to Cocktails and Killers episode 12.
Hello.
I'm Lena.
I'm Heather.
And today, I think as I mentioned last time, we're going to be talking about David Parker Ray, also known as the Toy Box Killer.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, my mom is like this super like weirdo and she has all these connections to these like serial killers. So my mom actually worked, which he was married four times. So I mean, it's not like he was only married once, but he was married four times and he had a daughter with the lady that my mom used to work with.
Oh, so they had kids together.
Yes, yes, they did. They had one daughter. Her name was Glenda, but she went by Jessie. But yeah, so my mom worked with his one of his ex-wives briefly. So let's dive right into it. Okay, so David Parker Ray, the Toy Box Killer. He was born November 6, 1939 in Belen, New Mexico. I have searched and searched, and I really can't find out a whole lot about his childhood. I know his parents, they divorced, and he had one sister, a younger sister. Her name was Peggy, and they lived on the farm with his grandparents. From what I can see, his parents, when they were together, actually, they all lived there together for a little
while. That's what I was going to ask, if they all lived there.
Wow. For a while. And then, so I guess the parents divorced. He and Peggy stayed there. And mom and dad basically just said, fuck it, and just dipped out and left the kids with the grandparents.
Wow.
From what I gather, mom was not really present, like, at all. She never even, from what I can see, came to visit or really had much to do with their lives. Now, dad did, but he wasn't the best of influences.
Of course not.
He was an alcoholic. He was very abusive. And it's been rumored that he would bring his son very disturbing pornography.
What? Magazine.
Yeah, like sadomasochism, like very, which we will learn is what kind of drove him. But
who brings that to their child? Like, do we know how old he was at that time when he was?
No, I couldn't find an exact date when they got divorced or anything. It just said at an early age.
Damn.
And that his dad, it was, and when his dad would come, it was very sporadic.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a every 2 week or, you know,
just here and there,
just whenever. Here and there, kind of pop in and out of their lives. So you have that going on. And then they said that, you know, that Ray, or I'll call him Ray because that's his last name. I think it's easier to go by last names. Mm-hmm. That Ray, he was an attractive young man, you know, like pretty good in school, but he was very shy.
Yeah.
And he got bullied a lot because he was very, like, extremely timid around girls.
Oh, yeah. Which made him, like, a target for assholes.
Yeah, but to me, it's weird because if, like, he's been seeing that type of pornography, you would think he would be
a little more, like,
aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he didn't want to show that. I don't know. So, in his teenage years, because he was bullied so much, he said that he started using, of course, drugs and alcohol, you know. But he actually did. He graduated high school, and after high school, he got a job as a mechanic. He did that for a few years, and then he enlisted in the Army. So he actually served out his time in the Army. He got an honorable discharge.
Almost like Israel Keyes. Like, I mean, well, several That's of right. these guys we've yes. talked about have been in service.
I know. Isn't that weird?
I know.
That creeps me out. I don't know. Okay, so he was born in 1939, like I said. And it is believed that, you know, after he finished his mechanic career, he got out of the Army. In the late 1950s, which would place him around 20, is actually when he started his killing spree.
Oh, wow, that was young.
Yeah, yeah. And the only reason any of this ever came to light was because he was arrested. So you have this guy out here in the world who's killing people, torturing them, and he was basically unknown for 40 years.
What?
Yes.
40 years
he was doing this, undetected, unbeknownst to anyone.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is...
I mean, that's like...
That's a long time for somebody to go without getting caught.
That's a really long
time. I mean, that's like... Who's the killer in California they recently caught?
Oh, what's his name?
Serial killer that... I mean, he was in his 70s when they finally caught him.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I know.
I can't think. It's going to come to us when we least expect it. Okay, so yeah. So for almost 40 years, he went completely undetected. It wasn't until March the 22nd, 1999, when he was arrested, any of this stuff came to light. None of it. You know, we've talked about killers before that were arrested for things, there was speculation. This, nothing. Nada. Zip. Zero. Zilch.
Wow.
If he hadn't gotten caught, who knows what? And they still don't really, well, we'll talk about it, but they still don't really even know what his body count is.
Really?
He could have been, and he still could be the most prolific serial killer, and we don't even know it.
Isn't that insane?
So... Basically, March 19th, 1999, Cynthia Vigil, she was working as a prostitute in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when a man who claimed to be an undercover cop told her she was under arrest for solicitation. So she obviously, what's she going to do? Because she can't question it. You can't run away.
Right.
So he placed her under arrest. Put her in the back of his, quote, unmarked car, handcuffed, and drove a short distance to where he had his, quote, and this is where, I don't want to say get excited because that's like super creepy and I'm not like, I don't like this, but it's like so clever. That's where he had his, quote, toy box.
So I was going to ask at some point, like, how did he get that name, the toy box killer? Because I was like, is this another, like, was he a child killer?
No. And that's... So, I think you were with me when my mom was telling us that she worked with his wife. And she actually thought that he was a child killer because she remembered something about toys in his name. So, anyway, we finally found him. But no, he wasn't a child killer. He was not quite that low, but almost.
Yeah.
So, he drove Vigil just a short distance to his, quote, toy box. He gets her out of the car, takes her into this. It's basically... From what I can, like a trailer that he has converted.
Mm.
So he takes her in, he chains her to a thing, gynecological type table.
Wow.
Foot stirrups. Yeah. I mean, you've got basically everything you can imagine. And so for the next 3 days, he rapes and tortures her with the help of his girlfriend.
Oh, wow. So.
Yeah. An accomplice. Her name was Cindy Hetty. So, just a few of the things that they use: whips, sexual instruments, sex toys, electric shock devices.
Oh my God.
Medical instruments. And he even had a cassette player that he had pre-recorded tapes on that he would play while he was doing this that would detail exactly what he was about to do. Can you imagine being there? You're Cynthia, and you're hearing what's about to happen to you.
Oh my God.
I can't imagine.
It's crazy that he would sit down and record himself beforehand.
Right. And who knows, he could have done it when he was doing this to another girl. Maybe he had a routine.
That's true.
that, I mean, because when I think of someone who's been in the service, Army, very strict, very regimented, mm-hmm. so he could have had a set routine that he did.
Like a specific MO, like yes. a lot of them do. There are a few
exactly.
that don't.
They do the same things mm-hmm. every time, no variation. Mm-hmm. So he could have had something, you know, pre-recorded that he just played for every single person, yeah. you know. Also on the cassette, it was instructed that she only call him master. And his girlfriend was mistress. She did not speak unless she was spoken to.
The mistress or the victim?
The victim.
Ah.
So she was not to speak, not to scream, not to... But his trailer, he had soundproofed. I'm going to go into details more about all the lengths that he went to. But it was completely soundproof. No one would have been able to hear anything, even if she did scream.
Damn.
Yeah. He told her she would never see her family again, and quote, eventually, he would kill her like all the rest.
Okay, so he probably had done it before.
Oh, she said, obviously we know she lived, okay? When she was interviewed by police, she said she knew that she was not his first, mm-hmm. nor one of his even very first few victims.
You've by been the doing way, it for a while at that time.
Yeah. I mean, now we know it's almost 50 years later, you know, in 40s, because, yeah. you know, they think that he started sometime in the 50s.
Wow.
So on the third day, March 22nd, 1999, while Ray was at work, he left, you know, his girlfriend Hendy there, and Cynthia noticed that Hendy had accidentally left the keys to her restraints on a table near where she was chained. As soon as she left the room or the box, she lunged for the keys and was able to free her hands. So his girlfriend, Hendy, tried to stop her, but Cynthia was able to grab an ice pick.
Oh,
I guess that was another one of his torture devices. She was able to grab an ice pick and stab her in the neck and was able to get away. So she ran out of the trailer naked with only a slave collar, and she still had chains on. And she ran to a nearby mobile home where she knocked on the door. I can't imagine if someone knocked on my door what I would
say,
do. But
like can you imagine someone running up to your door naked with like a slave collar on and chains?
Right? I'm not sure I would let them in. I don't know what I would do, honestly. I would be like, what the fuck? But these people, no hesitation, they let her in. They called the police. And literally that same day, Ray and Hendy were arrested. Immediately, a search warrant was obtained for his home and his, quote, toy box. And police were said to have been shocked and, quote, disturbed by the things they found.
I can't imagine.
There are, if you want to look and see, there are pictures online of mm-hmm. what the inside of this trailer, quote, toy box, whatever it mm-hmm. looked like, and it will blow your mind.
Oh, my.
I'm like, who could even think of something like this? I mean, it's sick
yeah.
to think about what kind of a mind could come up with something like that. They estimate that he spent upwards of $100,000 to customize. $100,000 to customize his little tiny chamber of horrors.
Wow.
$100,000. And think, this is in 1999, $100,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how much plastic surgery $100,000 can get you? I can think of a lot of things I'd rather do with $100,000. Yeah. So, in the center, he had his little, I call it, like I said earlier, a gynecological table. That mm-hmm. to me, that's the only thing. And if you're not a man, you don't get it. But if you're a woman, you understand exactly what that looks like.
I pulled up pictures just now. Like, that is messed up.
Right? So, okay, so get this. On the ceiling above the table, it was lined with mirrors. So they would have to lay there
and see themselves
and literally see everything that he was doing to them.
Wow.
I mean, because they're restrained. Yeah. You know, they can't move that much. So they're forced to watch everything that he is doing to them.
Jeez.
The floors he had equipped with whips, chains, pulleys, so he could, you know, pull their legs, their arms, whatever, in whatever way he wanted.
That is crazy.
Numerous clamps, even the stirrups that you put your legs in for a pap smear if you're a woman, to be able to spread their legs wider or closed depending on what he wanted. There were surgical blades, saws, sex toys out the ass.
Jeez.
And there is not even a name for this because it's not something that's even known, but there was a wooden type contraption that would bend them over, okay, immobilize their hands and their feet completely, so that he and his friends could rape them from behind.
His friends? So there were other
There was another involved. Yeah, we're going to find out about that. But this wouldn't... I'm assuming it was a homemade device. They couldn't move and would basically just have to sit there and take it.
Wow.
The walls, they were filled with detailed drawings and diagrams.
I was just about to say, does he have like pornographic pictures on the wall?
So all sorts of methods for inflicting pain, different, you know, techniques for torture and rape, lining all the walls.
That is insane.
In his toy box, they found a videotape from 1996 showing Ray and Hendy, who was obviously his girlfriend then too, raping and torturing a woman and detailing exactly what they were doing. So you've got all this going on with all the publicity of the case. Another woman comes forward with her story.
Another one that had escaped.
Yes. Her name was Angelica Montano. And she actually knew Ray.
Huh.
Now, she had says she went to his house to borrow a cake mix. Okay. Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess if you do this, I don't, you know, I hate my neighbors. You know how we are. But,
I don't even know my neighbors.
Right. But instead, she was drugged, raped, and tortured before being left on the side of the road in the desert.
Wow.
She was found by police, but her case was never followed up on.
I wonder why she never said anything when she was found.
Well, here's the deal. So Ray liked to use drugs to drug them, like sodium pentothal and phenobarbital, because they would create amnesia effects.
Oh.
And memory loss. So they couldn't remember exactly what happened to them.
Gotcha.
So their stories were never believed. And a lot of the times, it was a socioeconomic thing. Like, these women were known to have been prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, back then, you just brushed it off as, sorry, you had a bad encounter, you're a prostitute.
Right. It must have been a bad John that, you know, did something to her and whatever.
It wasn't taken as serious as it is now. So basically she told them what she could remember, but nothing, that was it. Nothing. No, he was nothing never questioned. Nothing. Nothing ever happened.
Wow.
So now we have two women telling their stories and all the evidence against Ray. Basically his girlfriend, she just flipped. She was like, fuck this.
So she survived being stabbed in the neck with an ice pick.
Yes, she survived. Yeah. And she said, fuck this. I'm saving myself.
Yep.
And I'm flipping on this motherfucker. So she caved and she detailed everything that she knew that had happened during the time that they were together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even letting the police know Ray's own daughter, Glenda, who he had with the wife that my mom worked with, helped him in an abduction, at least one abduction we know of what? One of her friends.
Oh.
And the rape and torture of her. His daughter.
I think now that you say this, I feel like I remember something being said, like when we were talking to your mom about it.
Helped him abduct one of her friends and then helped him spend days raping and torturing her.
Who does that? With their...
Who does that, period?
Period, but with her dad.
What the fuck? She's more fucked up than him, almost.
I mean, it you gotta be pretty messed up to, okay, number one, do that. But again, with your dad.
Ew. Who knows what kind of childhood she was subjected to? I don't know.
Right. You know? Because I wonder what their marriage was like.
Girl,
you the one that, you know, your mom worked with.
I have no idea.
Hmm.
All I know is if I had been that woman, I wouldn't have moved across the country and hid myself. I'd be doing tell-alls. I'd be writing books. I'd be making all the money I could off the toy box fucking killer. And everybody would know what a fucked up piece of shit he was.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was his daughter named, but he had a friend, Dennis Yancey, and he was named as an accomplice by Hendy, the girlfriend.
Okay.
Yep. So they went out, they picked up Yancey, they picked up the daughter. Yancey was questioned first, and he admitted to helping in the murder, not torture, rape, and release,
mm-hmm.
murder of Marie Parker. A woman that was abducted. She was, you know, raped, tortured by Ray. His daughter also helped on this one. This was in 1997. Yancey confessed that after days of this, finally, he strangled her to death. So he killed one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though no bodies were ever found, because at this point we only have, you know, the victims' stories, and mm-hmm. they lived. They had found a journal when they did the search of his home and his toy box, where he went into great detail about the murder, rape, torture of over 50 women.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Now, like I said, no bodies were ever found. Mm-hmm. He went on, so he was arrested in 2001. He went on trial, you know, for what they could pin him for, which mm-hmm. was the rape, kidnapping, torture of the three women, the surviving victims. He was sentenced to 224 years in prison. But not even a year later, he died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So he could never really, he wasn't ever fully questioned as to, you know, point out specific spots like you normally do with people, like, you know, where mm-hmm. did you put the bodies, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, he was never actually charged in the death of anyone.
What?
Yeah. He has zero counts of murder.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
But holy we have cow. This journal, we have all these things, but then he up and dies of a heart attack before.
So I wonder what this journal entailed. Like, it had all these details, but I wonder if he ever put in that journal what he did with the bodies after they were dead.
I don't think so. Mm-mm. I did read that Yancey tried to lead them to a general area of where they put the body of Marie Parker, but nothing was ever found. But that was the only time that anyone ever tried to show where a body was, because, well, I mean, you have Ray here. He's dead now. He can't tell anybody. So he died, you know, a year later. His daughter, Glenda, she received a 9-year sentence, but I'm pretty sure she only served like 2 and the rest was on probation. Mm. Yeah. Hendy, his girlfriend, was given 36 years and Yancey was given 22 years.
Huh.
But he got out after only about 10 years in.
Really?
But there was an issue with his parole and where he was supposed to be living, so he did go back in and finish serving the rest of his time. But he's out now.
Of course.
So, yeah. I mean, this happened when we were in high school. I don't remember hearing any, which I didn't watch the news in high school.
I mean,
but
I didn't either, but you would think, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, because that was my junior, senior year. Maybe mm-hmm. I didn't pay attention really much at all to the news.
So it's suspected that he has, at least that they think they know of, given the women that did survive, because there were a few more that came forward, but he was already dead, so what are you going to do?
Right.
Over 60 that they know of that he raped, tortured, you know, abducted, and at least over 50 that he murdered.
Wow. Wow.
And to do that for over 40 years and never be caught.
That's insane. Like, I mean...
that blows my mind. To do it for that long.
Exactly, and to never get caught. And I'm assuming during all those marriages, he was doing this.
Well, and I mean, the only reason that, you know, Vigil got away is because he left and went to work. So, you know, he's probably leading a normal life. Almost like the Green River Killer, who, you know, with the help of Ted Bundy, was said he's not going to fit your profile. You know, and just so happened, bad luck for him, he got caught. But I feel like this is a similar kind of a situation where you have this guy who's a family man. Yes, he's been married and divorced 4 times, but he has a job. He goes through life almost like BTK too, you know. But then he has this fucked up side that he somehow manages to keep hidden for almost 50 years. And it's crazy.
Wow.
So... there you go, y'all. You've heard now about the Toy Box Killer. So everyone that I've talked to and said that this was who we were doing this week had never even heard of him.
Well, I hadn't until you mentioned it.
Right? And I hadn't until my mom mentioned it.
Yeah.
So it's just so, I don't know. I'm not going to be like a conspiracy theorist and be like, it's all about what the media portrays. But it's like almost like you've never heard of this man. And here he has killed potentially... over 50 women that we know of, at least, or that he detailed, you know. And he's not the type that's going to lie and be like, I killed this person when he didn't. You're not going to spend $100,000 tricking out a fucking trailer to rape and molest women and say you killed them when you didn't.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like he's credible and what he said is true. And it's just crazy.
It's insane that I still can't believe I haven't heard of him.
Well, if you don't get freaked out too easy, just look at the pictures online of the toy box. And it's like, who thinks of these things? Like, I'm trying to come up with the next best drink recipe, which today Heather and I are drinking fizzy margaritas.
Yeah.
Keto edition, because, you know, we're low carb. So, if you're interested, it has a little bit of tequila, a little bit of fresh blood orange juice squeezed in, which technically I know has a little more sugar than we should have, but I did like one slice in each glass, and then some fresh lime juice, a little bit of, I use the lemon lime seltzer water, and then those, I call them ice waters, the flavored, you know, no sugar, no nothing in them, orange mango, and they're really good. So
they really are.
I suggest you try one of those because they're delicious. So that's what we're having today. So while I'm trying to think of good drinks, you got these fucked up fuckers out here trying to think of building a fucking toy box to
right. And I just I remembered that Robert Durst's trial has been going on, and it's still going on.
Still?
And I haven't looked in the news lately, but he has recently been diagnosed with bladder cancer, I believe. But he's still showing up in court. They actually had...
so follow up, people, to one of Heather's episodes when we did Robert Durst.
They had Lorraine Newman, who used to be on Saturday Night Live. She just testified. I guess she was friends with Susan Berman, the one he's on trial for murdering.
Oh, okay.
And according to Newman, she said that Susan told her that she had provided an alibi for Bobby.
Really?
And that it was a false alibi.
Well, we know that, or speculated that, but...
yeah, she said that she remembered Susan saying that she made a phone call. And when asked how certain she was that Berman told her she had provided Durst with an alibi, she said 100%.
Do you think, I wonder if he has bladder cancer and he knows he's, I mean, you're not going to make it if you have bladder cancer, basically. If he's going to be like cave and do a tell-all.
I mean,
he's such a crazy piece of shit. I can see him taking it to his grave.
Most likely. I would about guarantee. I mean, because it hit. Yeah. How long ago did his wife disappear? The 80s. Not a peep.
Right.
You know he ain't.
He ain't gonna tell.
He's not gonna give nothing up. And no. I would almost bet that he goes the same way as the toy box killer. He may not last. To.
He won't
get convicted and have to serve time, and who knows?
Yeah, he won't. He won't be too long if he's got bladder cancer. I don't think.
Yeah, because they. I mean, he's been showing up to court and he's been looking pretty
really
rough.
Bad. Really he already looked bad. Like a pruned up little dead raisin. So.
But like, so he showed up to court like he's wrapped up.
Oh God! Yeah. He's wearing a mask.
Yeah,
he ain't got long.
He has bladder cancer, and he had a UTI as consequences of that. Mm-hmm. So I think he's been having some health issues, and he's been in the jail hospital. So
well, I wish he would have a little decency and finally just let everybody know what really happened. But I don't see that happening.
I don't either. So and so they're resuming. I guess testimony on Monday, so it's still ongoing. I didn't actually think it would take this many weeks.
Right.
Because it started back in May when they went back to court, so.
We're almost 2 months in then.
Yeah.
It's almost July now, so. So who are we talking about next time, Heather? Have you decided yet? Or who or what? Are we doing another cold case?
I think I'm going to do another cold case. I am in the process of reading a book called Met Her on the Mountain.
Met her on the mountain.
There was a girl on Reddit who actually mentioned this case to me that she would be interested in hearing about it. And it is the murder of a lady by the name of Nancy Morgan. It took place, I believe it was 1970. It happened in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, reading this book has just infuriated me.
Oh, are we mad at the police again?
Yeah, we're mad at the police. All right.
I like those stories. I like hating the police when they fuck up, you know, because they act like they never do, and then they try to spin it and be like,
yeah, this.
So
this one, it's a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it puts me in mind of Eastern Kentucky.
Small town nepotism, and everybody knows everybody. It's cover for you.
Yeah. It's one of those towns where the sheriff is elected.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely West Liberty.
It's Frenchburg, too. He basically uses this murder for political purposes, basically, to, you know, keep himself in awe. It's just, it's infuriating.
Oh, I'm excited then.
I'm very angry.
I love
about
the last cold case you did. I thought that was, for me, that's been one of my favorite episodes. So I
really enjoyed that one too.
I know. I really liked it. So I'm excited to hear about
this
one. I
enjoyed learning about that one. But yeah, this one. So she was, and I haven't dug super deep in, but I guess back in the late 60s, early 70s, there were volunteers. In a program they were called VISTA workers, and I'm not sure what the acronym stands for. I have to look into it, but yeah, she was a volunteer there in that town, and it's, again, reminds you of Eastern Kentucky.
Oh,
they
she's
don't
an
like,
outsider.
She's an outsider.
Yes. Okay.
And they don't like outsiders.
Yeah, I get where you're going with this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can already tell I'm going to be infuriated.
Oh, I was so pissed.
I'm going to need extra booze next time.
I'm not done with the book yet, but I'm getting there. I'm hoping maybe I'll finish it this weekend. But yeah.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be a good one. So
kind of exciting. Yeah.
Well, as always, thanks for tuning in. Share with your friends. Like us on all social medias. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram.
Yeah.
We're always available. Any ideas, shoot them to us, and we'll peg him on the board, and, you know, as in the board in our minds, we'll go from there. So
my poor board.
Mine has a lot of tabs open. So.
Mine too.
Especially right now.
But mine's anyway, all cluttered.
Yes. Thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.